This podcast is brought to you by my new book, Mass Corruption, Volume 1, The Cops, The Breakdown of Law and Order, the story of Karen Reed, Sandra Birchmore, and many other corrupt events in Massachusetts in recent years. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. Save $5 when you pre-order your copy now at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at GraceCurleyShow.com.
She's a liar and a mean person. She's a nut job.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It's hour number 2-844-500-4242. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace. How's her baby? Do we have any updates on how she's doing, Taylor?
Last I spoke to her was last week. She's doing fine, enjoying her time at home. The baby's good. The baby's older sister is good.
Good.
Everybody's good.
Well. Yep. Yeah, and your child as well. You have a new little one at home. Everyone doing well?
Little Margot, yeah, she's great. Little Margot Ruby.
I love that.
Totally
is that
not, named
driver?
Totally not named after Marco Rubio.
I'm going to start the conspiracy theorist. This is my guest, Taylor Cormier. Not only does he have bad takes on Trump, but he names his kids after Little Marco.
Cabinet members, yes.
You got to have a few more. You name one after Pam Bondi. Pete Hegseth. I don't know if you could do, because you're kind of doing some gender bending, right? Because it's a female named after a male. I don't know how you would name someone a female version of Pete Hegseth, but I bet you can figure it out. You're a clever person. Anyway, 844-500-4242 is the number. I did want to just play a few more clips from that incredibly moving tribute to Charlie Kirk yesterday to start it out. Why don't we take one more of Erica Kirk talking about forgiveness, cut 5.
I forgive him because it was what Christ did and is what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us.
And I think that's kind of the message. And I think it's a really classy and poised and dignified way to handle it, is to just draw attention to what the movement is actually about. It's not about hate. It's about love. And to answer that, to answer it with forgiveness. And to have, again, just the composure to be able to do it in that moment. I just have so much respect for how she handled herself, for what she said, and the image that she broadcast to the world. And the whole world was watching. Now, I think there are a lot of people on the left that were not watching, and they probably don't know anything about it. But I did see even Mehdi Hasan tweeted out and said, I could never have said I forgive the person that killed my spouse. And it was really touching, very Christian, very, very humbling to see her do that. So, I mean, she is resonating beyond the just echo chamber, but I think there are a lot of people tuning it out. And J.D. Vance did have a lot of good comments. This was one of the cuts from him that I thought was one of the strongest. Cut 9.
Charlie suffered a terrible fate, my friends. We all know it. We all saw it. But think, it is not the worst fate. It is better to face a gunman than to live your life afraid to speak the truth. It is better to be persecuted for your faith than to deny the kingship of Christ. It is better to die a young man in this world than to sell your soul for an easy life with no purpose, no risk, no love, and no truth.
I mean, those are the things, like the statements that kind of speak to the broader reason, the broader purpose of what Charlie Kirk stood for. And I think there's going to be a lot that comes from this. I think we'll see quite a bit. I think it's going to be a legacy, is that you're going to see a lot of people inspired, a lot of people brought into the churches, a lot of people brought into the political movement, a lot of people trying to figure out how to live and how to speak their values. 844-500-4242. Let's go to the phones and talk to Nicole. Nicole, you're on the Grace Curley Show with Aaron Chadbourne.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, what's up?
Well, I wanted to give you guys a call. Over in Plymouth, we're going to be doing a walk for unity, and it's going to be on October 11th at 3 p.m. We're going to start out over at 183 Court Street, so that's where we're going to meet. But the walk for unity in Plymouth is a peaceful response to the violence that recently shaken our nation. It's in honor of the lives lost, Charlie Kirk, Erna Zadorowski, the five police officers in Pennsylvania, and now we have the gentleman up in Nashua. So we're going to be promoting values of life, family, faith, community, and country, and we're hoping we can get people to come together with us. We're selling some shirts. G&G Custom Silkscreen and Embroidery in North Plymouth are supporting the Walk for Unity. They're producing shirts at cost, and we're donating the remainder to Turning Point USA. And you guys can find me on Facebook. It's Nicole with an H, Rose. And I'm all over pretty much all over all the social media sites at this point. But we were hoping you could help us get this word out.
Great. Thanks for sharing, Nicole. We appreciate it. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. And I think that's a great response when something like this happens. If you want to organize and bring people together and do something peaceful, a march like that for unity, a lot of people have been holding vigils. A lot of people are doing things or starting chapters or doing what they're doing. And it speaks to, again, like a movement and how you use your example or use the example of Charlie Kirk. There was a moment where Dr. Ben Carson spoke to this, and Donald Trump over the weekend did announce that he's also going to be awarding Ben Carson with the Presidential Medal of Freedom as well. But Ben Carson was speaking about the organization he runs, the collaboration he's had with Turning Point and with Charlie Kirk as well. And he had a comment that I thought was worth playing. Cut 13.
I want to read a passage from John 12:24, remembering that Charlie was shot at 12:24 p.m. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Christ speaking, except a corn of wheat fall onto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And I want to thank Charlie for his sacrifice, because much fruit is going to be realized. Thank you.
And I think that's true. I think that really, as a result of this, there is going to be a lot more attention given to him. Now, he was getting a lot of attention anyway. He was very good at being prolific, at reaching people on college campuses, at leveraging social media, at reaching followers. But what this has done in terms of how it's galvanized people, they're resolved, and how it's, you know, change something in people, I really think is going to be the legacy of what happened. And Stephen Miller, of course, was also being very Stephen Miller. He was very, very animated. He was very worked up. But he had some harsh words for the people that thought they could silence the right through this assassination. Cut number 15.
Who's trying to incite violence against us? Those trying to foment hatred against us, what do you have? You have nothing. You are nothing. You are wickedness. You are jealousy. You are envy. You are hatred. You are nothing. You can build nothing. You can produce nothing. You can create nothing. We are the ones who build. We are the ones who create. We are the ones who lift up humanity. You thought you could kill Charlie Kirk? You have made him immortal. You have immortalized Charlie Kirk. And now millions will carry on his legacy. And we will devote the rest of our lives to finishing the causes for which Charlie gave his last measure of devotion. You cannot defeat us. You cannot slow us. You cannot stop us. You cannot deter us. We will carry Charlie and Erica in our heart every single day and fight that much harder.
Quite impassioned Stephen Miller. Quite zeal for that. But I think, you know, he's talking about the violence and the people who think that violence is right. And he says, this is the consequence of that. You've really galvanized a people and you've brought them meaning to their lives. And you've really made Charlie Kirk in death greater than he was in life, which I think is his point there. And in contrast to that kind of passion, Tucker Carlson was a little bit more lighthearted, but I have also thought, like, particularly moving to hear him talk about faith in Christianity as well. And his very Tucker laugh, Tucker-esque way of doing it. But again, like, what type of figure could have all these people from Jake Posobiec and Marco Rubio and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Tulsi Gabbard and all of these people? Tucker Carlson, cut 14.
And it actually reminds me of my favorite story ever. So it's about 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, and Jesus shows up and he starts talking about the people in power, and he starts doing the worst thing that you can do, which is telling the truth about people, and they hate it, and they just go bonkers. They hate it, and they become obsessed with making him stop. This guy's got to stop talking. We've got to shut this guy up. And I can just sort of picture the scene in a lamp-lit room with a bunch of guys sitting around eating hummus, thinking about what do we do about this guy telling the truth about us. We must make him stop talking. And there's always one guy with the bright idea, and I can just hear him say, I've got an idea. Why don't we just kill him? That'll shut him up. That'll fix the problem.
Classic Tucker. Like, I don't know, like, the Tucker laughing at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ at the end. But it was really more of the, like, the ridiculousness of the idea that, you know, they thought they could kill Christ and then that would be the end of his ministry, the end of it. And you look at what came after. Look at the religion. Look at Christianity. Look at the movement that was created. 844-500-4242 is the number here on the Grace Curley Show. Let's take some calls. Let's talk to Dan. Dan, you're on the Grace Curley Show with Aaron Chadbourne. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Just Trump supporter, big Trump supporter, very, very disappointed with his speech. There's a time and place for everything. That was not the place to discuss politics. Very, very disappointed. God rest his soul, Charlie Kirk. Have a great day, Eric.
Thanks for the call, Dan. I think, you know, Taylor and I were talking about it at the break, too. And I think that, you know, for Trump, too, he had a lot on his mind. And I think because it was such a long period of time between when the assassination occurred, when the death occurred, and when this took place, Trump's done a lot since then. He's kind of gone to, he went on his state visit to the UK. He's planning for his UN address. They've got this Tylenol thing that he's going to be announcing this afternoon with Dr. Oz and with RFK Jr. And so he's all over the place. And so I think he thought, like, a lot of his statement, like, comments he made right in the aftermath. So for him, a lot's happened, and Trump does so much every single day. I think he's kind of, you know, processed it and moved faster than everyone. And so he was kind of treating it more like a political rally. But I think a lot of people have had a similar reaction. 844-500-4242. We'll take one more before break and talk to Steve. Steve, you're on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Steve.
How you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. This is Steve from Maine. I was at the, unfortunately, at the Union Fair yesterday and saw a couple of people with T-shirts on that had a picture of Charlie Kirk on it and said he got what he deserved. And I was kind of shocked at the thumbs up they were getting.
Interesting.
So kind of disappointing to see in this state anyhow. But just wanted to let you know.
No, thanks for the call, Steve. Sorry to hear that. It's not what you want when you're going to fair season. I know the Cumberland Fair started yesterday as well, and a lot of people are out there. But, you know, I think that's one of the other legacies of this event. Is I think it's been eye-opening for a lot of people. I had someone come up to me at church yesterday who hadn't attended church in a while and said, you know, this was an event that made me come back to church. And she said, but it's also opened my eyes to some of the people that I'm friends with and what they actually think. And I think for those of us who have been in the public eye that have spoken out on conservative topics, we've been at the receiving end of a lot of this hatred or animosity or these attitudes, and we've known it for a long time. And I think this was eye-opening for others that there is a group of people on the left who believe that violence is the answer, that silencing people you disagree with is the answer. And I think it's been eye-opening for people. And I think if you look at your social media streams or you see people like what they say on Jimmy Kimmel Live, it's really shocking and surprising. We'll have more of the Grace Curley Show when we come back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is the Grace Curley Show.
This is the Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace. Taylor Cormier has the poll question. Taylor, what is today's poll question, and what are the responses thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is, with more excerpts coming out, would you read Kamala Harris's book?
So, I think this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I like the drama. I like the messiness. I like that she's writing about the fact that she was annoyed at Biden calling her right before the debate, that she felt undermined. I like that she's trying to take down each of the other Democrats a peg. And I don't really trust the fake news media, the Jake Tappers of the world, to tell me how much cattiness was in it. So my answer is yes, I will read Kamala Harris's book, which I never thought that I was going to say.
99% say no, they wouldn't.
It's gone from 97 to 99. I haven't convinced anyone. That's okay. You don't need to read it. I will read it for you so I can tell you. Like, listen to this part about Josh Shapiro. Harris twice described Shapiro as, quote unquote, peppering her and her staff with questions, not just about details of the job, but also life as vice president. He asked the residence manager a number of questions about the home, ranging from a number of bedrooms to how he might arrange to get to Pennsylvania, to get Pennsylvania artists work on loan from the Smithsonian. She also accused Shapiro of exhibiting a lack of discretion in the deep stakes, recalling that his official vehicles with Pennsylvania plates were filmed by CNN in front of the vice president's residence, despite efforts by her staff to arrange for less attention getting transportation. Yeah. Okay. So her staff was, he has a protection unit from the Pennsylvania State Police, I'm assuming. And they of course transport him in their official vehicle. But no, the vice president wanted to use it discreet. Everyone knew he was under consideration. She was pretty clear about who they had requested documents from Pete Buttigieg, from Shapiro. And they went with Tim Walz. And why did they go with Tim Walz? They went with Tim Walz because he was the least threatening. He was the one next to which he didn't shine brighter than Kamala. There was never going to be anyone clamoring that they wish he was the guy instead of her. And Josh Shapiro, people liked. And you know what else? He's very popular in Pennsylvania, which was a must-win state. And forgive me for forgetting, Taylor, but who won Pennsylvania?
Some guy, orange face, kind of Trump, was it?
Oversized bandage on his ear that we don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
Joy Reid hasn't seen the medical reports and the records on whether or not there was actually, was it really there or just there for show?
Was it just shrapnel?
Was it just the, what did they say, the teleprompter? Donald J. Trump won Pennsylvania because Kamala Harris was too threatened by her ego because he asked too many questions about the vice president's residence. And by the way, if he is asking those questions, he was expressing confidence that he thought she was going to win. Because he's like, oh, if I sign onto this ticket, we're going to win and we're going to be winners and I'm going to live there. And so they were asking questions, and he had logistical questions because probably he has kids and a wife. And by the way, the guy's had people try to set his home on fire now. So he's like been the victim of people wanting to assassinate him, largely because of all of the outrage that has been fomented for people that support Israel. All these crazy left wing pro-Palestine things, which, by the way, that's going to be the topic at the UN tomorrow, is going to be everyone trying to recognize the Palestinian state and pressuring Trump to abandon Israel. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Grace. I didn't get to the Marco Rubio cuts, and I think that he was very well spoken, so I just wanted to play a couple of those, and then we'll move on from Charlie Kirk. I think by next week, when I'm back here on Monday, We'll have other topics and we'll spend more time on them. But I think that I've been waiting to hear the speeches and to kind of commemorate. And I think it's a healing moment. I also think it's a galvanizing moment. And I think it was, if you didn't see it, you absolutely need to look up the footage of Erica Kirk and see as she kind of fights back tears to talk about the forgiveness that she had for her husband's murderer. I still get chills when I think about it, when I watch it. It was just really, really compelling. But Marco Rubio had some, a good comments. So moving, in fact, that you, like Taylor, might want to name your next child after him. Little Margo. Here's Marco Rubio, cut number 11.
How do you remember? This is a memorial service. It's to honor him. How do you best remember it? I'll take the liberty of saying what I think we can best do. Look, I think he had a tremendous impact on young Americans in general. I think he had a very special and direct impact on young men in this country. That's one of the greatest developments I've seen. It's been very positive. I think we remember him for that. I think we remember him for constantly saying, you want to live a productive life, get married, start a family, love your country. These are powerful messages. But I hope many who are watching, I imagine there are people watching here tonight that didn't know much about Charlie Kirk until 11 days ago. Maybe they were disengaged from politics. Maybe they were partially engaged. I hope one of the things they take from this is that the movement Charlie Kirk led and started and gave fuel to was about politics, but not only about politics. It was deeper. It was broader.
I think that's kind of really a good testament in talking about what he actually meant, what his movement meant. And I think that, you know, as you're thinking about a eulogy, you're thinking about what you're going to say about someone, to talk about what their impact was, the breadth, the depth, the lasting legacy is going to be, is really, really, really what the point is. But then also for Charlie Kirk, it wasn't just about himself. It was about equipping other people to be able to speak the way that he spoke. And in so many respects, as evidenced by Erica, as evidenced by so many of the people that spoke, it was about faith, and it was about his faith in Christ. And it's just, I think, so refreshing when you talk about living your life as a Christian and you talk about the number of people that are going to church because of his example. I think that's going to be one of the other legacies. And Rubio spoke to that as well. Cut number 12.
And I would say that, taking the liberty, but I'm confident he would agree, one of the things he wants us to take away from this, from all of this, is the following. His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men, and he died like a man, but on the third day he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see, and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return, and he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.
And I just really think that Marco Rubio has come into his own as Secretary of State, maybe not having to run for election, maybe not having to worry about the Senate or what he's been doing in the Trump administration and how he's been carrying himself, comporting himself, speaking out, I think has just been a surprise and a pleasant surprise that I wasn't expecting. 844-500-4242, the number here on the Grace Curley Show. I wanted to play so many of those clips because I know that a lot of people, you know, you go about your life. A lot of people did watch. There were things that you missed. I think it was very moving. And again, I would encourage anyone to watch Erica Kirk, her speech and what she had to say. But I just thought that was important given how touching and moving it was yesterday. There, of course, is a lot else going on in the news. We'll touch on a few of those things right now. First and foremost, I did like seeing Chuck Schumer squirm a little bit. Asking about whether or not he would endorse Mamdani. Now, Kathy Hochul came out. She endorsed Mamdani. She got on the Mamdani train, probably figuring that for her reelection. It's going to hurt her with the socialists. She should be open to some sort of primary or something if she doesn't do it. She came out and endorsed him, but Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck have been playing a little bit coy. Here was Schumer being asked if he was going to endorse Mamdani. Cut 19.
Before I let you go, speaking of candidates, you've been asked numerous times if you will endorse Zohran Mamdani for New York City mayor. You always say you're going to continue to talk. There are two key questions here that you haven't answered. One is, will you ever endorse him? And two, what do you need from him to get your endorsement?
Okay, well, first of all, you know, I know him. We've had a good relationship in the past. And we had a good meeting 2 weeks ago, a very long meeting with a lot of serious questions. And all I can tell you is I'm going to continue talking to him.
What's the holdup?
I got to continue talking to him, and that's what I'm going to do.
Is part of the calculus that if you endorse a Democratic socialist, you're worried it will be damaging to your party, maybe even your chances of winning back the Senate?
I'm going to continue talking to him. Dana, you can ask me again.
All right. Had to try, Senator.
Ugh. Like, I hate listening to them talk to Schumer. But notice they give him the kid glove treatment. If J.D. Vance or Trump or someone didn't answer the question over and over and just did the textbook thing that politicians should do, just repeat your talking point, repeat your talking point.
You're on to Cincinnati.
If they did that, then Dana Bash wouldn't just leave him alone and let him go. But that's what she's just like, okay, had to try. But with J.D. Vance, they like hammer him down, they cut off his mic, they push him, they interrupt him, they do all this other stuff. They say, oh, you're dodging. Now, I don't know. I think there are reasons that Chuck Schumer is not endorsing Mamdani. Number one, I think that, you know, he is under attack from people like AOC and the socialist movement in New York. And so he doesn't want to like give them validation for them to then tear him down in his own race, which is coming up next year. He may not want them to paint all of the Democrats across the country in Senate elections as socialists, but I think more it's really about him. When you look at any of these people, it's about themselves. And he wants something. He wants something from Mamdani. We don't know what it is, but he's going to keep talking to him and he's going to get it. And one of the things I think it probably is it has to do with his election. Because Kathy Hochul, when she went and endorsed Mamdani, what was it, like a week or two ago? She endorses him. He got asked right after, oh, and are you going to endorse her in her race? And he said, we're only focused on this race right now. He didn't endorse her. He refused to even comment on her race because he said, oh, we're only focused on our own race right now. And I think if I'm Chuck Schumer, I want to know if I'm going to give you something, if I'm going to help you, if I'm going to legitimize you, I want something in return. I bet Chucky Baby wants his endorsement back. He wants to know, how are you going to help me? How are you going to help me with all those people who are mad that we kept the government open? Because there's another government funding shutdown coming. It's coming. The House has already passed it. It's heading for the Senate. Doesn't have 60 votes. What's going to happen? Chuck wants to shut down the government. And even if he doesn't want to shut down the government, he feels that after he got shellacked last time by AOC and Elizabeth Warren, all these others for going along to keep the government open, Cory Booker, Spartacus. He probably is afraid. He's afraid of Mamdani. He's afraid of the socialists. He's afraid of his own political future. He's afraid of AOC primarying him. But sounds like AOC is eyeing a run for the presidency, not going to be content being a senator from New York. So I think Chuck wants something. And you have to remember, this is the guy that he showed the bravery in the very 11th hour after refusing to stand up to Biden and get Biden out of the race. He went to knife Biden because he thought it was going to get in his way. That he was going to lose, that his people were going to lose, that it was going to affect his power. And so then he finally made the drive out to Biden's house and knifed him in the back after failing to stand up for an open primary, after allowing this whole farce to play out, after carrying the water for him, because it was going to affect him and his power. And that's what I think is happening here with Chuck Schumer. So we'll watch this space. We'll see if he does endorse Mamdani. But you know that there's some New York style backroom deal that needs to happen. That's why he's got to keep talking to him. We're going to keep talking to him till Chucky.
Donald John Trump incited the erection.
Till he gets what he wants. Till Chucky gets what he needs. He's going to keep talking to him. 917 texted in that there's a poll that's out in New Jersey that shows that the Republican candidate, Jack Cittarelli, which he's run for governor in New Jersey. What, like, is this his third time? I think he's run every time. Trump has endorsed him now. There was a debate. I guess it happened over the weekend because I've seen all this video. And the angles on the camera is funny. It's like from the it's like an up angle. And the Democrat that he's running against, someone I've never heard of. So I don't follow New York politics. But Mickey Sherrill, I think she's a congresswoman. And she's been given some of the worst answers. And he's been attacking
Nobody
her.
Nobody knows
for,
what that is.
He's attacking her for trading stocks based on insider information. She got asked a question. Oh, while this one issue was before you, you traded $7 million, made $7 million in stocks. Like, did you end up doing that? She's like, oh, I'd have to check. I'm not quite sure. Which means it could be true. If it could be true and you don't know that it's not true, you're not doing it well. Well, the poll in Newsweek has Republican Jack Cittarelli up 1 point. So that's obviously within the margin of error, but it's talking about a tight race there. We're going to hear so much about how these midterms are shaping up. And I think any of the elections that happen this year, whether it's New York, New Jersey, any of these things are going to be early bellwethers. There's a Harry Enten clip going around. It came on right before we went on the air, so I didn't have time to grab it. But it is showing that if you look at the issues that matter to voters, Republicans are leading on all the important ones, on immigration, on crime, on the economy, which is what you want to see happening heading into a midterm. 844-500-4242. Let's go to the phones, take one more call. Gino, you're on the Grace Curley Show with Aaron Chadbourne. Go ahead, Gino.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, Tyler. Listen, I'll make this quick. I just want to say that I do not find it distasteful or unacceptable that Donald Trump spoke, let's just say, of a more of a political nature. He addressed everything, but the house was full of politicians there. This wasn't just a memorial for, oh, there are people on the street like me. This was a perfect opportunity to speak about a way forward, as I think Charlie would have agreed to that. Charlie was all about really every topic and issue out there, but Charlie was really all about country and politics.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Gino. I think, you know, I think Trump did what he wanted to do, and he had the right to do it, and he had the right to be there. I think people have different opinions about it, and that's fine. That's fine. Trump could do what he wanted. They invited the president. It's an honor to have him there, and Trump was being Trump. That's the long and the short of it. And unlike Taylor, that guest that I had on in the first hour, I'm not going to criticize the president for being himself and being exactly who he is, because Charlie would want him to be authentic. Don't you think, Taylor?
Yeah. Listen, Charlie loved Trump. Trump loved Charlie. I don't think Charlie would have disparaged the president for making those remarks. There was nothing bad. I want to be clear. There was nothing bad about what Trump said. It was just a little long-winded, a little disjointed, a little not as irreverent as you would have liked him to be at a memorial service.
One of my former colleagues went to work in the Trump White House and Trump 1.0 in the speech writing office. And when he was submitting his samples, he was writing samples for Trump. He wrote the way that Trump actually delivers them. And so he would add in all of those kind of like parenthetical. You know how like Trump will like riff and he'll just go off script. So David, when he was writing his submission, he wrote it the way that Trump speaks, and he got it back from the head of the speechwriting office, and they said, hey, we don't actually put that in there. He just adds it. So could you clean this up and write it the way that you would write it, and then will we just let the president do what he does? And I think that's just so Trump, right? Like, and I think part of what happened in the first Trump administration, it was one of the first places where the speechwriting office was under the policy office. And so speeches were really controlled by policy, not just based on PR. And I think that that's been really important. And so then Trump makes it his own. And that's what he certainly does. And so Trump had a mission, he had a thing, but then he's going to add what he wants to say. Whatever's on Trump's mind that day is what you're going to hear. And I think there's a lot on his mind. There's a lot that he's going to talk about later today when he does his availability with RFK, talking about Tylenol and autism. And I'm sure once we hear what he has to say, we'll have some reactions to that. There are also some hearings coming up in the Karen Reed civil trial. We'll talk about that with Howie Carr when we come back for the Carr crossover. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
We are back on the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. Thank you for listening and being with us on this Monday. I enjoy filling in. I enjoy having a good time, even if Taylor is so disparaging to our president, our commander-in-chief, Donald J. Trump. It is now time for the car crossover. This car crossover is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC. It's coming, winter. You can't escape it. This winter, move more snow with a Fisher Plow from Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Massachusetts. As a Fisher Plow distributor, you can count on Tux to have the full line of Fisher products, including parts. Learn more at TuxTrucksGMC.com. Joining in studio now is the man himself, Howie Carr. Howie, every time I turn around, there's a new Karen Reed trial. What are you watching for today?
I think this is a what's called a status conference in the civil case. She's being sued by with a lot of some of the bars in Canton by the estate of John O'Keefe, the guy that was murdered, but not by Karen Reed. And so she's moving to dismiss the charges, but they're also going to inform the judges about their counterclaims and all that stuff. And one of their counterclaims is going to be Karen Reed, her attorneys are going to file a mega lawsuit against the Mass State Police and a number of the McAlberts in Canton and elsewhere. And I think this is going to be the first time we're actually going to have the names made public about who's going to be sued. So it's going to be a pretty interesting afternoon in Plymouth.
Yeah, and I think that gets started right around 2 o'clock. So during Correct. Your show today, there Correct. Will be a lot of developments.
Yeah, hope to have the lawyer, not Alan Jackson. He's going to be there, but the main lawyer is going to be Damon Seligson. He's a Boston attorney. We hope to have him on the show after the hearing wraps up, probably in about an hour and a half.
You follow this closer than anyone. Did they name her in the wrongful death before the verdict came out? So that's why it made
yes.
sense.
Yes. Yeah. And they said, you know, how can we deal with this, you know, when she's on trial, you know, because she's, you know, it was pretty clear that the most the Commonwealth could get was a mistrial. You know, when she was acquitted twice.
Right.
So they just waited. And now it's, you know, they're kind of catching up with what happened. So I think the big news today is going to be, you know, we kind of knew the rest of it. You know, she's going to move for the, throwing out the charges against her, if not the bars. But the big news is who's going to be named as the defendants in her case.
I want to know how long to get removed from the case.
You wouldn't think that it would take the judge a long time to make his decision on removing her from the case. Your Honor, my client is charged with a wrongful death, but her vehicle did not strike the deceased John O'Keefe, as was ruled by two separate juries,
yeah.
and by the FBI's accident reconstruction team.
By the way, it needs a new radio. So if you know anyone that can get a custom yeah. Lexus radio programmed, yeah.
Only $15,000. That's all it is.
Howie Carr Show coming up next. This is the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.